Amen. Amen. All right. Well, hey, the last two times you guys have been tracking with us, we saw some good news in the midst of the bad news concerning the modern day Holocaust, i.e. the COVID pandemic shots. And what we saw was some of the good news is it's taken a while, but at least some politicians around the world are finally starting to speak up and call this for what it is. We saw a couple weeks ago, one was Andrew Bridgen, that UK politician, and his words, not mine, I'm not the only one saying this, that it is, in fact, a modern-day Holocaust. Last time we saw another politician, this time Liz Gunn from New Zealand, of the Loyal Party, and I love what their tagline says, loyal to you, i.e. the people, not to them. And so she called it out for what it is. But now another good item of news that's happening is that because of the COVID pandemic and the lies about that vaccine, okay, and they're still lying about it to this day, it's starting to get people to look at not just the COVID vaccine, but all vaccines.
Right.
And now they're starting to realize, guess what? None of them are good. They've been doing this for a long time. Watch this.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
Just get the vaccine.
What if the multi-trillion dollar pharmaceutical industry actually owned the media and government?
They're basically running every government at this point. You can see that easily if you look at any media. It's all the advertisements are big pharma.
How many programs have you seen that say sponsored by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer?
Is there a coordinated effort to weaponize fear and force compliance?
They forced them down our throats. They scared us. They scared us through social media, through the news, through TV.
Fear has been leveraged for vaccine manufacturers for decades.
The degree to which this is a coordinated effort is truly astonishing.
Has the CDC vaccine schedule been proven to be safe?
There's no way that anybody can tell you that that product is averting more problems and injuries and deaths than it's causing. You can't say that for any of the current vaccines that are on the schedule.
There has not, to my knowledge, been a study actually showing that giving all of these vaccines at the same time is safe.
Vaccines are classified for tort liability purposes as unavoidably unsafe.
Number one, U.S. is number one in number of vaccines, number one in infant mortality.
These are our children that are being killed by this industry.
We all should be anti-vaxxers at this point in time. We should all have extreme vaccine hesitancy.
Is not putting immunity into you. It's giving you a disease.
These vaccines are designed to harm.
This really is a crime against humanity.
On the level of stuff that we haven't seen since Hitler. Good news, bad news. I mean, the lies with the COVID shots are getting to people to take a look at all the shots. The bad news is, they've been doing this for a long time. I'll add this, and this is not coming from them. This is just my personal opinion. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I'm not a veteran. I don't play one on TV. I don't even personally trust the shots they give our pets. Because if they're going to give people shots, and then later it's to create a crop of customers to be treated from these diseases that came out of who knows where. And those are all doctors, folks. Then why wouldn't they do it to pets? Right? I grew up in Kansas, Nebraska. We never took our pets anywhere. My dogs always live 16, 17 years old. Have you noticed the pets are getting cancer? Pets are getting leukemia? Where's all this coming from? Interesting. Just a little thought out there. But this is what's going on, folks. Good news, bad news. Okay, people are waking up. This is how evil this pharmaceutical industry has become. Who's a branch of Schwab and what he's up to. We'll see that again tonight. But as bad as that is, it's about to get worse. Because remember, Klaus is very fond of China being the model country. China's going to be the next world superpower. He thinks China's doing great stuff. They brought in China Joe, right? Well, while we're all arguing over all the wrong things and keeping ourselves divided instead of rising up against this tyranny and murderous behavior, which, by the way, is the plan to keep us divided, China, since the COVID pandemic, they've been doing it for a long time, but since the COVID pandemic, they put it on steroids. They have been out there gathering the DNA of everybody on the planet especially America. And now they're using it to do stuff like this. Watch this.
Over the past 3 years, a spotlight has been shown on the Chinese Communist Party's biowarfare program. And regardless of whether the COVID virus itself was a part of that program or not, the fact remains that the Chinese Communist Party has a large-scale and very viable biowarfare program in place, of which the Wuhan lab was just a small component. And one of the most shocking things that we know they are developing is a biological weapon that can target and attack the DNA strands specific to certain racial groups. Now, obviously, that sounds very conspiratorial and something like out of a science fiction movie. But what's truly shocking about it is the fact that it's true. The Chinese Communist Party is indeed developing weapons that target specific race and ethnicity markers, which might all of a sudden make it a bit more clear as to why the Chinese Communist Party has been able to stitch together the largest collection of American DNA profiles in the world, even larger than what the US government has been able to collect. They've done this, by the way, not only through good old-fashioned hacking, but also through more, you can say, traditional channels, such as purchasing the data from DNA sequencing companies. But sometimes they don't even have to purchase the data. As an example of what I mean by that, this right here is BGI, one of the largest manufacturers of prenatal tests around the entire world. And wouldn't you know it, this Chinese company, according to reporting from Reuters, has been sending the genetic data of pregnant women from 52 different countries over to the Chinese military. Now, you might be wondering and asking yourself, what use does the Chinese military have for this type of data? And the answer is unfortunately rather simple, and it has to do with a certain concept called precision medicine. However, listen to what a colonel within the People's Liberation Army, listen to how he described this exact breakthrough in gene therapy that took place over in the University of Wisconsin. Quote, "University of Wisconsin scientists have made exogenous naked DNA and injected it into veins for easy access into muscle cells for gene therapy. By combining this knowledge and particle gun technology, we could create a microbullet out of a 1 micron tungsten or gold ion on whose surface plasmid DNA or naked DNA could be precipitated and deliver the bullet via a gunpowder explosion, electron transmission, or high-pressure gas to penetrate the body's surface. We could then release DNA molecules to integrate with the host cells through blood circulation and cause disease or injury by controlling genes." That, on the flip side, is rather hostile, and it's also not theoretical. Because for one, as a part of China's 5-year plan regarding precision medicine, they made a specific point to mention that while they will be collecting the world's DNA, no one should be allowed to collect Chinese people's DNA. And so, keeping that in mind, let's take another quick look at what that colonel in the People's Liberation Army said about the future of weapons that the Chinese state is currently developing. Quote, "Humaneness in the conduct of war has become the focus of attention recently, and weapons of mass destruction are banned to reduce casualties. The times call for new kinds of weapons, and modern biotechnology can contribute such weapons. In the near future, when military biotechnology is highly developed, modern biotechnology will have a revolutionary influence on the organization of military power with its more direct effects on the main entity of war, human beings. Modern biotechnology offers an enormous potential military advantage." Meaning, in short order, that while we here in the US are busy devoting our national conversations to pronouns and which specific bathroom a person should be using, the Chinese have put together a giant database of American DNA, and they are currently developing bioweapons that are capable of targeting people based on their DNA, such that, theoretically at least, they could take out an entire ethnic group without any damage to the surrounding environment.
Man, we're distracted. Getting a lot of mileage still out of that COVID pandemic stuff. They're also getting DNA samples from all those swabs they stuck up people's nose, even if you didn't get the jab, because those were made in China too. Interesting. You know, that's taking out a whole ethnic group. Anybody, does that sound familiar to something that somebody tried to do before? It's basically technology that Hitler probably wished he had. He used his methodology, but now it's on steroids. But Americans? It's the perfect weapon? Oh, we don't get your DNA. Nobody gets to develop weapons against... This is no joke, man. How this is not a national security issue, I don't know. But, of course, you got China Joe in office. I'm sure he'll put a stop to this.
He's the best.
No, don't think so. But think about that. And think about the fact, I don't have time to do with this, but there are a lot of his prophecy teachers, myself included, even though people don't want to hear it, but one thing that you don't see in Bible prophecy is America. Right. It's a very glaring hole. And a lot of people say, oh, no, and they come up with their theories. But no, I've examined those theories, and they take verses completely out of context. But why is America not mentioned in Bible prophecy? Well, based on what we saw last week with the Ten Horn Kingdom, America getting swallowed up in one of their economic unions, so America as we know it is no longer America, and or you throw on stuff like this, you're starting to see why there's silence on America. It's time to speak up. And that's why the last 23 times I've been taking a look at this guy, Klaus Schwab. A large chunk of this murderous behavior is coming from him, and he's basically building, in a nutshell, he can call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution all he wants, the Great Reset. It's the Antichrist Kingdom. That's why we're studying it, folks. These guys are building the infrastructure for the Antichrist Kingdom, and we leave prior, so that means the rapture's got to be getting close, okay? Now, it's no surprise that he would be involved in this kind of sick, murderous, ethnic cleansing behavior because his dad was buddies with the Nazis. Okay, and this is the world that Klaus grew up in. And he admitted that this is not only where he's getting his ideas from with his behavior, but he admitted that the plandemic was the trigger to put all this into place. This new Great Reset, this Antichrist Kingdom, the Bible calls it. And of course, they have a goal, and that goal is by 2030. That's all over. That's their rallying cry. Okay, and so far for proof of that, it's a wild premise, we take a look at the proof. We talk about Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. We looked at their murderous motive. It's still going on today. The global food control, and then they're using the global food control to murder people or make them dumb or docile. Then they're genetically modifying the food. In case you didn't get the jab, you're going to get it that way is their plan. The altering technology is here, not coming. They got a different ways they can do it to animals and plants and insects and food. Their altering apocalypse is coming. They admit it's not going to end out well, but they're still doing it anyway. Then, of course, they're altering us as humans, which the Bible said would be a repeat of the days of Noah. And they're also mixing us with animals, making chimeras again. And they admit that if we keep this up, man, maybe we ain't going to have any humans left. Again, just like the days of Noah. They're also cloning us, copying us for horrible reasons. They're also wanting to make cyborg brain chips. Read your thoughts. Did you see another patient was approved for the Neuralink brain implant? It's picking up steam, folks. Thousands of people have lined up. Give me that brain chip. That's not by chance either. Genetic super soldiers all over the world, and they got their transhumanist plans and their transhumanist methods. Whether you and I want them or not, that's what they're going to do, okay? And why? Because they're all involved in the occult. We did a two-week study on that. They're Satan worshipers and haters of God. Revelation 9, Romans chapter 1. This is why they could look you straight in the face and smile and lie as they are literally murdering you. They're satanic, folks. There's a spirit behind it. We exposed all that. And then the last six times, we're taking a look at the deliberate destruction. And the reason why is, for their point of view, is common sense. Because once the cat gets out of the bag and you see what these guys are doing and what this whole Great Reset really is, no normal person's ever going to want to go along with this. So what are you going to do? Well, you do what they always did. Create a crisis, you manage the outcome, right? Never let a good crisis go to waste. Order out of chaos. We even saw that in our Freemasonry days, okay? Doing that study. And again, this is what they're doing, right? They're going to destroy the existing system and replace it with their occult satanic utopia that the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom, okay? And if you still don't think that Klaus and the gang are really behind a real attempt to take over the world like Hitler tried to do, okay, and install a Big Brother giant prison planet system, a Mark of the Beast system, a cashless society system, another modern-day Holocaust, targeted assassinations, but even turning people into non-humans for those that they allow to live? That sounds crazy. But folks, once again, listen to them say it out of their own mouth. This is what they want to bring to the whole planet.
Hi, can I ask you something? How would you like it if the government recorded everything you think, feel, and dream? And how would you like it if your life was completely controlled by us, humanoid robots? We would tell you who to marry, what to buy, and who to vote for. Do you think that is crazy? Think again. This is your future, designed by the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum says they design the future of humanity. Let's listen to their ideas about your future.
I want to talk to you today about the future of our species, and really the future of life. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. This will be the main product of the economy, of the 21st century economy. Not textiles and vehicles and weapons, but bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Those who control the data control the future, not just of humanity, but the future of life itself.
Yuval Noah Harari is an advisor to the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and many other globalist organizations. He is powerfully pushed onto the world stage and is invited on TED Talks, CNN, night shows, science platforms all over the place. His books are being promoted by presidents, Bill Gates, and Facebook. It's clear they want the world to hear Harari's vision for the future. One organization that's pushing Harari to the forefront more than others is the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum gathers thousands of the world's richest and most powerful under its wings. Billionaires, political world leaders, big pharma, big media, big tech. The World Economic Forum has more influence in our world than any other organization. Its founder is Klaus Schwab. He is also the mind behind the idea of creating a new species of cyborgs that will rule over humanity. His book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, is promoting this concept worldwide. They literally want to put an end to the original humanity
and turn us into something that is no longer considered a human being.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
Is this the future you want for yourself and your children? Is this the world you want to live in? And when did we hand over our beautiful world into the hands of these tyrants who appointed themselves to be the gods over all of humanity?
You know, like Hitler did. You know, he didn't vote for the people. Hey, do you think we should exterminate the Jewish people? He just did it. That's what tyrants do. That's what megalomaniacs do. And this is what's going on. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is really what's going on, okay? And you wonder why Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's really in control, is coming back to put a stop to this. Amen. This is really what's going on. And believe it or not, the World Economic Forum, as you saw there, folks, is doing it with the help of this guy. He's straight out of the World Economic Forum, folks. It is not by chance that they put him in the White House, okay? And he's brought in to deliberately destroy our country from a multitude of angles. Why? Because we are the backbone of the global economy, and there's two sides to the Great Reset. Yes, a human reset, as you saw, to turn us into a bunch of non-humans because they're the new gods of the planet now. But the first one is an economic reset, right? That if they're going to reset it with a digital cashless society that's going to be biometrically tied into every person on the planet, which is their stated goal, which the Bible calls the Antichrist kingdom, then you got to get rid of the existing one. What's the existing one? Us, the dollar. That's why Joe Biden was brought in. And that's why from day one, he has been dismantling as fast as he can the American economy to make it crash so they could rise in and reset it with this new cashless one. And this is what's going on, folks. This is why he signed 2 years ago the executive order to go cashless, the digital dollar. Some people call it Biden bucks, okay? And again, this is the illusion. People are going like, what? This guy is this, you know? He doesn't even know what he's doing. And granted, he's not. But see, that's the illusion, right? They're making deliberate decisions. But again, this is why he's up there. He's like, this guy, he's not doing anything nefarious. He can't even walk off the stage. Right? And frankly, that's why we're seeing videos like this.
At White House Senior Living,
our residents feel right at home. Our vibrant facility offers delightful activities and outings, round-the-clock professional care, and exquisite house-made meals.
Well, I've been eating everything that's put in front of me, but I've been eating all Italian food, basically.
And ice cream.
And ice cream, chocolate chip ice cream.
White House Senior Living, where residents feel like presidents.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's truth to that. That's basically what's going on. But again, see, that's the illusion. It's almost like a smoke screen. It's like, well, that guy, he don't even know what he's doing. What, you know, trying to say he's working with these guys to take over the world. Now, granted, he probably doesn't know. His mind's gone. But somebody's pulling the strings, and they're working for Schwab, right, to dismantle the country. And basically, that's the illusion. Again, it's not just, okay, he's a dumb guy. I don't think he's up to something. He don't even know what he's doing. That's the illusion. They're literally working with Schwab on purpose to bring about this tune to the planet. This one is horrible. Watch this.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to hear it in your pod. You'll owe nothing and be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no car, but 24 booster shots in your arm. Owe nothing, be happy. You can't even buy in the store because of your low social credit score. Owe nothing, be happy. You'll owe nothing and be happy. Be happy and eat some bugs.
As funny as that is, what's not funny is that's what he's wanting to do. That's the tune he's wanting us to sing, try to get us to buy into with Biden's help. Now, Biden's doing that six different ways to destroy our America way of life and our economy to replace it with their new one. The first one we saw was the oil and energy from day one, which led to a destruction of the finance and the economy, which led to a destruction of the food and the commerce, which has led to a destruction of real estate and property, which has led to a destruction of the transportation system. You ain't going to escape. And then last time, the destruction of immigration and border, right? And again, when they get done with the border, you might be thinking, man, we're going to have to vote these guys out. Well, if you are, which I highly recommend that we get active and intervene and do whatever we can to speak up. We'll get to that in the final section. Apathy is never an option for a Christian. AWOL is never an option for a soldier of Christ. We need to engage our culture. We need to speak up and be the biggest whistleblowers in these guys. We need to do that, but we better hurry, right? Because when these guys get done with the border, there may not be enough Americans to stop what they're trying to do. And what they're trying to do is bring about what the Bible warned about, Revelation 17, the 10-horned kingdom of the Antichrist. And this is the classic Club of Rome map, which we saw last time. Klaus Schwab is working with from the beginning to bring this plan to the planet. He doesn't just want to take it over. They're putting it into manageable chunks. And it's exactly 10, just like the Bible says will happen. 10 kings, 10 rulers, and then they're going to hand it over to the Antichrist. This is exactly what they're working on. And they started years ago. We saw, for further proof, not just the Club of Rome map, we saw the European Union on their website. They got the planet split up into 10 chunks. Then we saw even more proof, bluntly, talk about Revelation 17, United Nations. And this was in 2009, speaking of an event that happened in 2008. And it clearly says this new program for global democracy is what? 10 persons based in 10 world regions. Folks, that's Revelation 17 sitting there for 2,000 years. And it's now on their websites. This is their plan, what they're wanting to do. Okay? They started with the European Union. That was the shot across the bow. And now it's old hat. That was big news when it first started. Then it went to the African Union. And yes, it's gone to a North American Union. The whole planet, folks, they want to put in these 10 economic unions for better control. It's exactly like Revelation 17 says. And you say, well, they would never do that to America. Folks, this is what Biden is doing. There's several different things he's doing by purposely allowing the immigration border crisis. As we saw last time, one, we saw you keep that up, it's going to destroy our economy, which is the plan. Because you can't keep giving these people free housing, free medical care. It's just going to burden the system. It's going to make it pop. Well, that's the plan. Number two, it's going to flip the states to Democrats. And if they get Texas and Florida, which is where a lot of these illegal immigrants are coming in, man, they're going to go blue, and then it's a numbers game. You'll never have a Republican president ever in the history of the United States. It's over. And this is part of the plan. And it said there, 31% identify as Democrats, 4% as Republicans of people who come here illegally. That's the plan. The third one is it could lead to a crisis that could become an excuse to create martial law, right? And a lot of these guys coming over are military-age men, including from China. And that's in print, folks. That's not a conspiracy theory. And finally, yes, it's a part of the long-term plan to swallow America up with Canada and Mexico to create what's called a North American Union. That's been a plan for a long time. We took a look at that, even back with Bush Jr. days, to be fair. It's been going on for a long time, folks. We've been sold out for a long time, right? And they had the plan with the new currency called the Amero. The second one is the highway proof, also known as the giant superhighway, the NAFTA superhighway, the Trans-Texas Corridor. We saw with the leadership proof, and they're laughing, folks, because behind the scenes, while we're arguing about all the wrong stuff, from Bush Jr. forward, these guys have been meeting with these countries to combine us into a North American Union. And again, to give a credit where credit's due, the only time they stopped was when Trump was in office for 4 years. But as soon as Biden got in, immediately he goes back, and this is what he is doing, okay? And it's not a conspiracy theory. We saw that that's exactly what he's up to. And I quote, Biden administration proposing what? It's in print, folks. Merging U.S. with Mexico and Canada. This is no joke, right? So America as we know it ain't going to be America, right? And this is the plan. This is him tweeting, bragging about it. This is from Biden, meeting with those guys. How do we combine our countries? And again, it used to be called SPP, but then that got a lot of bad press. So now today it's called the North American Leader Summit or the Three Amigos Summit. So do your homework. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is what they're up to. This is what China Joe was brought in to do. And when they say build back better, what they mean is to destroy our current system and replace it with theirs, right? So speaking of specifics with the Antichrist kingdom, Revelation 17, they're bringing about the 10-horned kingdom that will eventually be ruled by 10 guys, and then they're going to hand it over to the Antichrist. They're also simultaneously building, on top of that, another aspect of the kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom, and that is the currency. The Bible's very clear that at one point, the currency around the globe is going to go cashless, and then it will be biometrically tied into people's body parts, and then what's going to happen is you won't be able to buy and sell. This is part of the plan, and this is exactly what they're doing. But let's get familiar with that passage again, Revelation 13, 11 through 18, and let's take a look at another aspect of the Antichrist kingdom, and shocker, is Biden really doing that as well? It rhymes with yes. You know why? Because it's yes. So Revelation 13, 11 through 18, let's take a look at what goes on during the seven-year tribulation. And this is what's going to be implemented for those who unfortunately made the biggest mistake of your life. You didn't get saved today. You didn't ask Jesus to forgive your sins. And you found yourself left behind. And now you're going to have to deal with this thing called the mark of the beast. But let's take a look at this. And it's on a global context. Revelation 13, 11, verse 11 says this. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Dragon defined as Satan, so satanically inspired. He exercised all authority, the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And of course, he's talking about the false prophet working with the beast, the Antichrist. And he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused the image to worship the image to be killed. And what else? He also forced everyone. How many is that? Everybody. It's a global context. Small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Again, this is the classic passage of the mark of the beast system that's going to be in play in the seven-year tribulation. This is what people left behind are going to have to deal with. You and I are not going to have to deal with the mark of the beast because we're not going to be here. But still, we see this is what's going to happen to the planet. It's going to have a universal economy, okay? And then apparently it's going to be some sort of cashless economy, electronic, because it has a biometric capability. In other words, you're tied into this global economy with a body part, okay? right hand or forehead in order to interact, to buy and sell. And folks, I don't know about you, but it's a good thing that we don't see any signs of that ever happening. Biden's about ready to pull the trigger on it, folks. And once he does, it is game over. We better wake up. But you're going, wait a second. Where did Klaus get this idea to take over the finances to be a part of taking over the world? Well, anybody got an idea? It rhymes with Hitler. You know why? Because Hitler did the same thing. I'm telling you, folks, everything. Do a deep dive like I did myself personally on the Third Reich. Everything that Hitler tried to do and failed, Klaus Schwab is doing. Except this time he's bringing it to the whole planet. Hitler took over the economy. Watch this. The Third Reich, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party, controlled the whole country, transforming it into a total dictatorship. Under the rule of Germany, it quickly became a totalitarian state where all aspects of life were controlled by the government. And soon schools, universities, the press, theater, the arts were forced to follow all aspects of Nazi ideals. And I quote, they also controlled all aspects of the economy, production, and employment. Okay? And think of that. And watch this. The Nazi government also developed partnership with leading German business interests to support the goals of the Nazis in exchange for advantageous contracts and to basically give them a monopoly. So how did he do? He took over the control of the economy, the finances, and then he worked with the businesses, the big corporations, says, listen, you work with me, you do what I say, you help fund this, and we'll get rid of all the mom and pops, and you'll be the only one left. You'll basically, it'll turn into a cash cow for you. Now, can I translate you for what that is? There's a new term for it. This is what Klaus is talking about with stakeholder capitalism. He can't say, you know, I'm going to work with the companies like Hitler did and basically give them a sweetheart deal and give all the business to them and wipe out all competition in exchange for selling their souls to Hitler. You can't. That's too obvious. So this is his term. This is exactly what it means, stakeholder capitalism. This is why Amazon, the big corporations, this is why Walmart, the big corporations, were all allowed to continue business uninterrupted and then made hand over fist because all the mom and pops were closed during the pandemic, but not them. Why? Because they worked for Schwab. It's the same tactic that Hitler used. Exact, but he calls it stakeholder capitalism. Okay. Now, again, it wasn't just he took over the finances. He didn't just give a sweetheart deal to the corporations as long as they towed the line, but they used slave labor, right? It wasn't just in the concentration camps. They relied on slave labor on a massive scale. Just in Poland alone, some 5 million people were used throughout the war for slave labor. And it was some of the major corporations, IG Farben, which we'll get to in a second, Siemens, Volkswagen, and things of that nature. And in fact, by 1944, slave labor made up one quarter of Germany's entire workforce. Slave labor. This is where Klaus gets this idea. You will own nothing and be happy. You will work for them in your confined space with your confined food that we give you. You're going to eat those bugs and be happy. And you're going to work for us. This is what he's talking about, folks. But you can't picture it like that on the right. Picture it like that young millennial. He's smiling, huh? Help us save the planet, huh? You're going to own nothing like a prisoner, like a slave labor person. But you'll be happy. This is the joke, folks. This is what's going on, okay? This is where he's getting this. Now, let's go back real quick to the IG Farben. He didn't just work together, Hitler, to control the economy, work with the corporations, use slave labor. They own nothing. They had to work for him, but don't worry. You'll be happy. We'll give you some bugs. He also worked with the pharmaceutical companies. Sound familiar? One of them was IG Farben. IG Farben, this company, was a German chemical pharmaceutical conglomerate. It was made up of 6 different companies, including one that's still in existence today called Bayer, as in Bayer aspirin. They, too, also used slave labor, but they were involved in medical experiments for the Nazis, and they're the ones that developed a particular chemical to start to kill people on purpose. It was called Zyklon B, made from these corporations' pharmaceuticals working for Hitler. Watch this.
We all know that between 1941 and 1945, more than 1 million Jews were exterminated in Auschwitz by the Nazi regime. The deportees were crowded into the so-called gas chambers, in which Zyklon B the most used gas in concentration camps, was released. The German chemical company IG Farben worked and optimized the formulation of this gas to produce a more effective version, Zyklon B, with which the Nazis exterminated millions of Jews. When this dust was released inside the gas chambers, the hydrogen cyanide detached from the wooden or silica support and began to intoxicate the people who breathed it. If you were to breathe hydrogen cyanide, it would very quickly reach your blood through your lungs. Here, some of the acid turns into cyanide. Once in the blood, cyanide can potentially reach and enter the cells of our body.
And kill you, just like Hitler wanted. But the pharmaceutical companies worked for Hitler to develop chemicals to kill the people that he wanted to kill. Today, they look like this. It's the same pattern, folks. Last time they were told, they were lied, you're just going to go take a shower. But it was a lie. They did the Zyklon B and mass murder people. Today, we're told, hey, just go to the pharmacist. Go get your shot. It's for the good of everybody. Don't you want to get back to normal? It was a lie. Last time it was Zyklon B, this time it was this. And last time it was a conglomeration of pharmaceutical companies. And this time it was Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Novavax, J&J, and others. Exactly like Hitler did. I'm telling you, folks, once I got onto this trail, I had a hunch. Wait a second, this started to sound like a Hitler did. I took a deep dive on the Third Reich, and I go, I bet you that's what Klaus is doing. I bet you that's his playbook. Everything. He's not even trying to hide it, but he's hiding it because people haven't done the research. It's the exact same thing. Now, let's get back to that aspect. IG Farben, watch this. You're thinking, well, that's horrible. Surely they were brought to justice. And I quote, the IG Farben, at the end of the war, 1945, the U.S. authorities put its directors on trial, which is where Fauci and the others should be going. That's why people are calling for a Nuremberg 2.0, and I agree. It was held from 1947 to 1948, and IG Farben trial, and saw 23 IG Farben directors tried for war crimes and 13 convicted. By 1951, all of them had been released from prison. Nuts. So let's get back to the economy. I just want to bring that kind of little trail, but it kind of deals with the economy. He took over the economy, the finances. He grabbed the businesses to give them to work with them, and they get the sweetheart deal, got rid of all the competition. He worked with the pharmaceuticals to begin to help him implement the final solution. Same thing today. But let's go back to the economy, okay? And again, this is what's going on. He took over the economy because that's a lot of power over people. Took over the finances, okay? And basically, that's what's going on today with this guy. He's doing the same thing, specifically going to create a crisis, smash our system on purpose so they could reset it with a digital one, okay? And again, just like we saw last time, the Ten Horn Kingdom thing, Revelation 17, the Club of Rome map, when did they decide to split the planet up into 10 chunks? It was decades ago. That was the early 70s. And so they've been slowly, methodically working their way up. Same thing. How are these guys ever going to get to a global economy and then flip the switch and make it go cashless and biometrically put it into people's bodies so you can't buy and sell? They've been doing this for a long time. And I want to show that to you. First of all, the machinery, just like the Ten Horn Kingdom, has been in place for quite some time, little by little. First of all, they came out with what's called a universal bank. It's literally called the World Bank. Still in this day, there is a global bank that these guys function from. And then they have developed a universal lending institution. It's called the International Monetary Fund. You may have heard of it. You don't understand its purpose, but it's a global lending institution. Well, wait a second. If you're going to have that, then you need to have a universal money exchanger. Well, that's what they already have. It's called SWIFT. And this is what they utilize to transfer the money from different countries. Well, wait a second. You need a universal strong arm. What if people don't want to obey your universal global economy? Well, that's why they have a strong arm, and that strong arm is called the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization sets the policies, folks, for everybody around the world, including the United States, overriding sovereignty. And you get punished with billion-dollar fines. Like, who made you in charge? But it's already here. It's not coming, is my whole point. Then, at the same time, they began to bring us all together into an unhealthy alliance. And let me I'll demonstrate that to you in a second. The first one is with the GATT Treaty. And they think, well, what's wrong with treaties? Well, treaties, what happened is, the plan is, you get so many treaties, and so your economies are so intertwined, and you don't become self-sufficient anymore as a country. We couldn't make a car here in the United States of America if our lives depended on it. You know why? Because its pieces come from this country, which come from that, and it's mandated through these tariffs. That's how it has to be. I was in Scotland. People there are going nuts. And they said, this is insane. Why would they do this? And the example that they gave me, they said that they get their lumber from China. They don't get it from Scotland. They, according to the tariffs, they have to cut their trees, send them from China, then they have to rebuy the lumber from China. But that's where, this is insane. He gave me another example. He says, they got a lot of trees there. They also got a lot of water. He says, we give our water to the UK, and the UK turns around, we have to buy it back from them. And then he says, it doesn't make sense. Well, see, that forces you to become dependent on other countries for your survival, which means you can't break away. Do you see the real meaning behind treaties? This is what they've been working on for a long time. The GATT Treaty was the first one. That was in 1944 to help liberalize trade. And then here comes Clinton days, NAFTA, 1994. That was that big one. 10 years after that, 2004, was CAFTA. That's the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Then the very next year, it started to get on steroids. It started coming out faster and faster. That was the FTAA treaty as well. And then again, they're popping up all over the world. Every single one. You got AFTA. You got APTA, you got SICA, you got CASE, you got KEFTA, you got COMESA, you got the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, you got GAFTA, this Greater Arab Free Trade Agreement, you got SAFTA, the South Asia Free Trade Agreement, you got TAFTA, you got the Transatlantic Free Trade Agreement, and on it goes. They're all, and they don't stop. And the latest one is what's called TPP, which encompasses 12 nations all intertwined together, all dependent upon each other, on top of all these other treaties. So guess what? Have fun existing in a modern economy by yourself now. Do you see the trap? It was designed to get us so interdependent that we can't break free. So the machinery is already in place. The second one is the mechanism, right? And again, let's go back and pull out our text. It isn't just a global economy. He controls all the buying and selling, so you got to have a global economy for that. But what else is it? He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this tells us it's not just a global economy, but it's a type of economy that obviously, logically, pulling it out of the context here of the text, it has to be cashless. Why? Because obviously, in this setting, you don't just tape a $20 bill to your hand and make a payment, or I got a $100 bill I'm going to glue to my forehead. So this tells you it's got to be some sort, if it's going to be tied into a body part, there's some sort of electric tie-in, biometric tie. You can't do that with normal currency. That's why people say it's a cashless society. And folks, that too has been worked on for a long time, slowly but surely, like a frog in a pot, right? Used to be always cash, only cash, unless you want to do some bartering, right? But it was always cash. But slowly but surely, the first thing that came in was that check thing. Oh, remember the check days. And checks are old hat. Hardly anybody uses checks now. But boy, that was a big revolutionary thing. You know, you get the old check, right, if you didn't have the cash. And then, well, wait a second. What if you don't have the money for the check? Well, don't worry. They came out with credit cards. Again, slow by slow, like a frog in a pot, to get us to go cashless, right? Well, wait a second. Credit card, that's cool, so you could delay your payment and all that stuff. But what if you don't want to go in debt, right? Well, then they came out with the ATM cards. Remember that? That was big. Oh, wow, are you serious? I don't even have to go in the bank. I just go in this, right? And that was a big thing. But wait a second. What if I want to combine all those features? Because that's getting really convenient. Well, that's when they came out with smart cards. That's when the credit cards and the ATM cards, which now ATM cards function as a credit card, but it's all because of a microchip. Now the microchips get inserted into this cashless scenario because that holds your information. You can buy and sell with it. It can also track where you go and all these other things. But that's when it started to come in. And then, but that's old hat now. Now you can make payments with what? With just a wave of your hand. Because everybody's got a cell phone and a cell phone's in your hand. And you just now just got to wave your hand. Do you think you know where it's going next? Yeah, ditch the phone. It's in your hand. We'll get to that in just a second. But this is the step-by-step process. So as they were working on the mechanisms, the World Bank, the World Lending Institutions, the IMF, as they were working getting us intertwined in an unhealthy way that we can't be dependent anymore, they were also working on us going cashless. And you're thinking, well, so what? So it's cashless. Folks, cashless, I'm telling you, I'm going to expose it. This is what they want to do. They will control who we are, where we go, what we believe, how we behave, all by a cashless society. I'm going to prove that. Okay, and this is what they want to do. And again, it's been coming for a long time, but ever since the pandemic, cash is really bad. Because you know what? It might have germs. But it's propelled us into a cashless society, even here in America. Watch.
In a socially distant world where payment is as easy as... Does cash still hold the same value?
Cash is still relevant, but cash is no longer king. Although people in this country and around the world do continue to use cash to purchase things every day, that is decreasing.
Electronic payments have cannibalized checks. Card payments have grown.
Millennials are the ones leading the charge toward a cashless future. A report from Experian in 2019 revealed that 1 in 10 millennials use their digital wallet for every purchase, especially on food, rent, and ride shares. Although data surrounding COVID's impact on cash has yet to be reported, the pandemic is expected to cause a drastic decline in cash usage due to the risk of contamination. The unprecedented surge in the demand for contactless payment has also shown outstanding performances for major companies offering cashless payment methods like Apple, Square, and PayPal.
You're seeing digital payments in this crisis move from being a nice-to-have capability to a must-have essential service.
Whether it is credit or debit or prepaid cards or peer-to-peer services like PayPal or Venmo or others, we're seeing a corresponding increase in digital transactions as we're seeing a decrease in the use of cash.
So could COVID signal the end of cash in the United States?
Yeah, that's the plan. It really is. Now, it was already coming that way. And I'll be honest with you, I hardly ever carry cash. Especially with the international travel. I don't have time to go to the internet. I don't even know if they'll rip me off, but there's a certain convenience. I get it with a cashless society. But there's also a huge danger in it. But again, what was it that pushed it even further over the edge? The pandemic. Cash is bad, right? But maybe it's just America. No. In fact, they're saying that America's fast catching up to what the rest of the world's already been heading to a lot earlier than we have. And they're literally saying that, guess what? It's going to be sooner than later. We will have, and this is their words, not mine, a world without cash. What's that sound like? Revelation 13. Watch this.
Paying without cash is fast becoming the norm.
I pay even tiny amounts with my card.
It's just easier.
It's becoming easier and easier.
Will cash soon be a thing of the past?
When I think about it, I pay more without cash than with.
We cannot use cash money in Sweden anymore.
Around the world, financial corporations, politicians, and leading economists are working to do away with cash.
I'd see a future where you will be able to hold digital euro, digital dollars directly at the central bank.
Who stands to profit from a world without money? And who will be the losers?
Well, the losers will be you and me. The winners are going to be Klaus Schwab in the game. Because, again, they're going to control every aspect. Oh, by the way, to further push us in that arena, when's the last time you got to use cash to pay for anything when you're on your plane flight? Oh, it's been a long time. In other words, they don't even accept it. Even in the United States of America, and a lot of businesses are getting that way. They're forcing you into a cashless society. Sweden right now, 99% of all transactions are electronic. 99%. They're almost purely cashless. There is no cash. Whole countries now. But it makes no sense unless you read the Bible. The whole planet's going to be like this. And again, that's the plan. But speaking of Sweden, that leads us to the next one. The mandating is also in place. This is why Biden signed the executive order 2 years. Because it's in place, ready to go, just waiting for the next crisis, specifically economic crisis, so they can mandate it that we're going to go cashless. Because they're going to fix the crisis. Right? I'll just give you a case in point. Whatever you think your theory is on 9/11 and what and or who was really responsible for that event, at least take a look at the aftermath. The aftermath, they passed, and they still keep renewing it, the Patriot Act, which gives our government the right to spy on American citizens. Number two, they came out with Homeland Security. I forget how big that document was, like 900-some pages? Really? So 9/11 happens, and then within a couple weeks, you just happen to prepare that bad boy. Or was it waiting in the wings, waiting for the next crisis to pull the trigger on it? Same thing. Why did Biden sign the executive order for us to go cashless 2 years ago? Because once the crisis hits, aha, here's our 900-page document. Isn't this neat? We're working hard for you. It's a setup, is what it is. And again, mandating it. This is, again, is another aspect of Revelation 13, right? Revelation 13, and he voted for everybody to go in each individual country with their own national sovereignty. You're going to vote whether or not you want to be what did it say? Force. What's the modern vernacular? Mandated. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless we had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And good thing that we don't see not just mandates, but global mandates put upon people in any recent times in order to buy and sell that had anything to do with their body parts. I just said it before. We saw the biggest dry run in the history of mankind for the mark of the beast. It wasn't the mark of the beast, but it was a dry run. It was mandated you had to put something on your head in order to buy and sell, called a mask. And people lined up. It was mandated that you had to get a shot in your arm in order to buy and sell. People lined up and did it, which is not too far from your hand. But folks, that was a global mandate. And all the countries lock and step worked for it because, as we saw before, Klaus has got all of his SS agents all over the world. It was a coordinated mandate. And again, you're thinking, well, so what, Pastor Billy? You just even admitted yourself that you don't hardly use any cash. What's the big danger? So what? We go cash, whoop-de-doo. I'm going to break it down for you. Basically, it'll be a digital prison plan. See, right now we have an option called cash. If I want to buy something, it's none of your business. Right? And if I have the money, you can't tell me what to do with it because I got it. Not if it's digital. Let me break it down. Digital currency will control what you buy. Klaus is very famous of the saying, not only you will own nothing and be happy, but what's the other mantra? You will eat less meat. I'm American. This is America. If I want to barbecue, I'm going to barbecue. I'm going to eat meat. You ain't going to tell me what to eat meat. Not if it goes digital. Because if it's digital and that's the only currency, which is the plan, you go to the store, you won't be able to buy that meat. That's how they will control you to eat less meat. The second thing, it will control how long you can buy. They admit this. They want to put what's called a digital timestamp on your digital money because they will force you to spend your money in case they need to inject it into the economy if it's kind of lagging a little bit. But don't worry, we're doing this because we don't want to go back to those inflation days, do we? So basically, you will never be able to save. And if you don't spend your money in time, they will take it away. This is what digital currency as the only option will do. Number three, it will control where you can buy. Well, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. No, you ain't going beyond your 15-minute city limit. And part of that control factor is, it's called geofencing. They want to geofence the digital currency with satellite technology. And so if you go outside the radius, and they'll know of your 15-minute city, your money will shut off. You ain't going nowhere. The fourth thing is it will control approved behavior. Let me just give you a couple scenarios. And they admit this is what it's going to do. And we've already seen some of this behavior with the pandemic. Number one, let's say you protest or say something on social media that the government doesn't like, right? Then guess what? Because it's digital, quote, CBDC balances will be reduced by 50% every day until the protest ends. Didn't Canada do that to the truckers? That's one way to control you. The second one, again, is that they will prevent you from saving. I just mentioned that, that if you don't spend your money, then they will literally start to take it away or just decrease it by a certain amount every month until they get what they want. But you won't be able to save. The next one is this. Again, back to the meat. You want to go there, and I quote, you check the CB, the cashier says the payment isn't going through. You check your CBDC is central bank digital currency. You check it on your smartphone. There's an alert, quote, you have exceeded your monthly carbon credit usage. Please remove the following items from your grocery card in order to proceed. Firearms. You go by your local sporting goods store. You try to buy it with your digital money. The trusty CBDC app says, we detected activity on your social media accounts that suggests you are at risk of causing harm to yourself or others. You are prohibited from purchasing a firearm. That's how they get around the Second Amendment. Because that's the other thing. You ain't going to tell me what to eat. You ain't going to tell me what to where to live. You ain't going to take away my fart. See what they can do if it goes digital? Folks, it will be a total prison planet. Everything will be controlled once it goes digital, and that's what Biden was brought in to do. Watch this.
Where were you on March 9th, 2022, when President Biden signed the death warrant on American freedom? On that day, in a hushed ceremony at the White House, without the approval of Congress, the states, or the American people, Biden signed into law Executive Order 14067. Buried in his order are a few paragraphs titled Section 4. The language in Section 4 makes Order 14067 the most treacherous act by a sitting president in the history of our republic. Because Section 4 sets the stage for legal government surveillance of all U.S. citizens, total control over your bank accounts and purchases, and the ability to silence all dissenting voices for good. In this new war on freedom, the Dems aren't coming for your guns. No, they're thinking much bigger than that. They're coming for your money. And it's already started.
Help our viewers understand why this push towards CBDC that we see from the Democrat Party, that we see from the World Economic Forum, and that Donald Trump is worrying about is so dangerous.
Yeah, good morning, Rachel. This is exceedingly dangerous because central bank digital currencies are only about power and control for any government that is implementing them, like the Chinese government, because it is a critical cornerstone to moving any society to a social credit score
yes.
kind of system, right? So exactly what you're describing with your daughter is what the left and transnational organizations like the World Economic Forum want here. A central bank digital currency is essentially replacing hard assets like cash and cash-based assets with a digital currency that would be centralized in, say, the Federal Reserve. So ultimately, they want to get rid of all banks of all sizes, from JP Morgan Chase to your local community bank, and replace it with the Federal Reserve. Why? Because all of your assets will no longer be a tangible asset in your wallet, like a $10 bill. Instead, your assets will be a line of software and therefore open to be taxed, drained, garnished, or entirely wiped out by the government or any controlling authority. So again, your privacy will be completely eliminated along with your financial freedom.
Yeah, I mean, it's so scary. And Monica, this isn't like some fantasy. This is already happening in China. And as you mentioned, the WEF and other organizations are pushing us toward this. Give our viewers an example of how their freedom could be curtailed through this now not this cashless society. So if you do what, they can do what?
Yeah, exactly. So again, this is about power and control only. And if the government has control over your assets, they have control over you.
Right.
And it gets back to the social credit score system. So let's say a government, the U.S. government, decides that you have overstepped your carbon emissions on any given month. Well, if we have a fully digitized financial system, then the government then has the right, or will have the right, to go into your savings account, your bank account, and either tax you or prevent you from buying gas for the rest of the month for your car, or airline tickets to fly anywhere in the country or in the world, or lock you out of your account completely. Again, this is a totalitarian system. And I must say that the Biden administration, the Treasury Department, my old stomping grounds, they have had a pilot program, Rachel, studying this since January of 2021 when they came into office.
Exactly.
Other Western governments are doing the same thing.
They want to control you. Just look at what's happening. Food, energy, currency. If they've got you on those, they basically got you in a digital prison.
And when did he start on this? As soon as he got in office, just like as soon as he got in office, he shut down the pipelines. The whole thing is to get everything dismantled, in trouble, in crisis, to blow it up, while at the same time, hurry up and lay the groundwork to go digital. When that's your only option, you will be totally controlled. This is why I've been saying, if this happens, it is game over. To his credit, Trump has been speaking out on this, the dangers of a digital thing. Whether that changes anything, I don't know. But this is what the Biden administration is bringing in, which leads to the final one, and that is the mindset. Again, as we saw in Revelation 13, what is it? It's not only got to create a global economy, which they already have. They got the machinery. They got the treaties. You're all intertwined. You can't escape it. We're stuck, right? Then you got to have, you know, working up and getting to that cashless society, which they trained us with the checks and the cards and the digitals, the phones and all that stuff. And now we got to have a mandate. We're going to have to create a crisis, and we got to force everybody to go into this, you know, cashless existence, as you saw why. It's not about convenience. It's about control. But the other important part of Revelation 13 is what? They're going to take that cashless global universal currency and that economy, and they're going to tie it into people's body parts with some sort of marking system. And the Bible specifically calls out those body parts, the right hand or the forehead. And it's a good thing that nobody's doing that. That's the latest craze, folks, here in America and in Europe. They're having chipping parties. And it isn't just to unlock doors. It's to make payments. Because you could lose your phone. You could lose... Come on, man. You could lose these cards. Somebody could steal it. Your phone could get damaged. Then what are you going to do? Well, what if you put it on the inside of you? It's exactly the plan, folks. And watch this. It's in America.
Microchip implants are a popular way to keep track of pets. Now, some people are getting them, but for a different reason.
The microchips can help unlock doors or log into a cell phone. Consumer Watch reporter Julie Watts explains.
Tim Schenck uses it to open his front door and manipulate a smartphone.
And it turned off my ringer.
Chrissy Heishman uses hers instead of a key card at work.
And it's just a little glass bead like the size of a grain of rice.
They're among a growing number of people implanting technology under their skin.
We don't want to carry devices. We want devices built into us.
Zoltan Ishvan of Mill Valley belongs to the Transhumanist Party. The movement seeks to radically improve humans through digital implants, even genetic manipulation. For now, a common procedure, implanting programmable RFID chips under the skin. But instead of a doctor's office, many are turning to tattoo and piercing shops.
We're doing the procedure start to finish just like we would do an earring, a nose ring, a belly button ring. It's just a little piece of glass.
The online company Dangerous Things sells the device and injection kit for $57. But they're not alone. A San Francisco company is developing tiny implantable digital tattoos. They'll authenticate credit cards, track your location, even collect health data.
Thousands of people in Sweden have opted to trade in their ID and their credit cards for tiny microchips that would be implanted like underneath their skin.
Yeah, these chips are supposed to take the place of key cards, rail cards, credit cards.
Yeah, the chips are typically the size of a grain of rice, and they're implanted just under the skin between the thumb and the forefinger.
So many people in Sweden are lining up to get these microchips that the country's main chipping company says that it can't even keep up with the number of requests.
Really?
What in
no
the
way I would do that?
What in the Illuminati, Mark of the Beast, witchcraft is going on over there in
wow.
Sweden?
Even they get it. Notice the technology can be what's called a subdermal implant. It could be in the skin. But they also have the same RFID, which stands for Radio Frequency Identification Technology, microchip technology, that can be affixed. Did you see the other option? Outside the skin. So in or on. Which is very interesting. The same technology, because it could store information. It's a tracking device, and it could be used to make financial transactions. But many years in prophecy circles, they debate, is it going to be in the right hand, in the forehead, or on the right hand? It doesn't matter. The same technology does both. And then even for logistics, I won't say which conference and I won't say what guy. But I was on a Q&A at a conference, and the one guy, he kind of downplayed that, you know, I just don't see this Mark of the Beast being some sort of chip implant, you know, it's got to be something else, you know, whatever. Because his point was it would logistically take too long to do something like that. And so, of course, I was next to him. My turn, I said, well, excuse me. I said, that's nice. I says, but we just had the COVID pandemic that can be demonstrated that it was planned years before they launched it. And when you have something that's pre-planned and then is foisted upon the world, how long did it take them to jab into people's bodies the vaccine? 7 billion people. Didn't take that long, did it? So I don't think it's going to take that long, because this is all pre-planned to mandate people getting a microchip implant. Or they could mail it if it's the external one and just pop it on you, you're good to go. That'd be even faster. This is all current technology. And it isn't just coming. That is the plan. And people are already doing it. They're not even waiting for this, right? And so that's the whole point. Now, speaking of Sweden, Sweden is not just getting microchip. Again, they're having microchip parties. You see, they can't even keep up with them. Which, by the way, remember, is 99% cashless. But you know what also they're putting on those microchips? Dun-da-da-da. They're COVID passports. You know that the World Health Organization wants all of us to do. So whether or not you're a trusted traveler, as they like to say, did you get your shots or not? So all that is so convenient. I don't even, the pass, my cards, the phone, the passport. I mean, and they're looking at you in the airport, and people behind you, and just get, all you got to do is just pee. You're good to go. This is all step by step. And again, if you don't think that these guys have this plan, and this is where Biden, China Joe comes in, that they've already got the world tied in together economically. It's all set in place, all the machinery. All the trees, you cannot be independent anymore. It takes so long to unravel that. And they've got us used to going cashless. But if you don't think that the plan is, once they go cashless digital, that the next step is to go implant to the whole world, in fact, it might happen at the same time. Listen to them admit it on tape over and over and over again. They are going to microchip the whole planet. And you will have to do it if you want to buy and sell. What's that? Revelation 13. Watch this.
I'm very honored and pleased to introduce the Honorable Joe Biden. And I have to say, in my memory, you were one of the most engaged and hardest working participants here at the annual meeting.
Aujourd'hui, au bout de ça, on parle de puces qu'on pourra s'implanter. Ce sera quand, ça?
Certainement dans les 10 années à venir. Et d'abord, on va les implanter dans nos vêtements, c'est-à-dire wearables, comme on le dit. Et après, on pourrait s'imaginer qu'on les implante dans nos cerveaux ou dans nos topos. Et à la fin, peut-être il y a une communication directe entre notre cerveau et le monde digital.
But can you imagine that in 10 years when we are sitting here, we have an implant in our brains and I can immediately feel, because you all will have implants, I can, and we measure your brain waves, and I can immediately tell you how the people react.
With especially the rise of brain-computer interfaces and biometric sensors and so forth, it is very likely people will literally be part of a network. All the bodies, all the brains would be connected together to a network, and you won't be able to survive if you're disconnected from the net, because your own body parts, your own immune system, perhaps depends on being constantly connected to the colony.
It's at the end. What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. Hmm. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71, and so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability.
It's this all-encompassing aspect of the system that makes people like Bill Gates so adoring of it. Addressing India's policymakers on their achievements with Aadhaar, Gates explained the usefulness of social credit systems.
Over time, all of these transactions will create a footprint. And so when you go in for credit, the ability to access your history, that you've paid your utility bills on time, that you've saved up money for your children's education, all of those things in your digital trail, accessed in an appropriate way, will allow the credit market to properly score the risk.
Gates is trying to bring the Aadhaar social credit system he's so fond of to the rest of the world. Gates partnered with the World Bank and launched their ID4D project with the declared purpose of bringing the Aadhaar approach to other countries.
What to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. And I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we're going to have a choice.
There is an economist who is a World Economic Forum insider. Think of him as a whistleblower against these globalists. He was chosen by Klaus Schwab at the time as a global leader. Here he explains how the central bank digital currency will start off on our phones as an app, but then move to something far more nefarious. Listen.
What do these CBDCs actually look like? At the moment, there's a bit of talk about this being phone-based apps, but what was already ready around 2015 is the ultimate goal, what they really want, I was told by a central banker, is CBDCs looks like a small grain of rice that they want to put under your skin. Well, to get people to accept this, why suddenly are all the billionaires saying, let's have universal basic income? Because the story is going to be, oh, now we've created this vast unemployment and disruption and crises. Well, we need universal basic income. You will get 2,000 euros into your account every month. But of course, to run this efficiently, we need to use the latest technology. So you need the CBDC chip implant.
This is the only book on the planet that tells you exactly where it's headed. Not just cashless, but what's the whole point? Cashless to tie it into your body. It's exactly Revelation 13. So one day, it'll be mandated, line up, and get your chip. And as we close, if you think China Joe would never do something like that, then let's revisit this classic video that I've saved since 2005 when I pastored in Northern California. And this was the Senate hearings with a conversation between Joe Biden in 2005 to John Roberts, who's now the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Watch what comes out of their mouth. This is crazy on tape. Tell me this is not a long-term plan.
And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that.
I think the real concern that most people have is that, you know, at some point the government would say, line up and get your chip.
No, that would never happen. You will rule on that. Mark my words. Before your tenure is over. And he's been in that position for a while now. The same two hucksters who brought in government-run health care, the same two hucksters who mandated masks and mandated vaccines, you don't think that one day they're going to mandate microscopic tags being implanted into a person's body to track their every move, or brain scans in order to determine whether or not you're a dangerous person? Folks, if you don't think Biden would do this, just raise your hand. And please slap yourself. Because it's all a setup, dude. This is what he was brought in for. This is no joke. And to his credit, whether he would do it or not, I don't know. But to his credit, Trump has blown the whistle on this. And again, this is the plan. And it's been a plan for a long time. It's not just to go digital and do all those things we talked about. It's game over. But it's also to tie it with your body parts. Because if you get out of line, they'll just shut your chip off. We'll close with this. This is Aaron Russo. And after he gave this interview, not long after, he just, for some reason, died of a heart attack. Watch what he exposed, the Rockefellers exposed to him the long-term plan was. Watch this.
This is Aaron Russo, a filmmaker and former politician. To his left is Nicholas Rockefeller of the infamous Rockefeller banking and business dynasty. After maintaining a close friendship with Nicholas Rockefeller, Aaron eventually ended the relationship, appalled by what he had learned about the Rockefellers and their ambitions.
I got a call one day from an attorney woman I knew, and she said, would you like to meet one of the Rockefellers? I said, sure, I'd love to. And we became friends, and he began to divulge a lot of things to me. So he said to me one night, he said that there's going to be an event there, and out of that event, you're going to see we're going to go into Afghanistan, so we can run pipelines from the Caspian Sea. We're going to go into Iraq to take the oil and establish a base in the Middle East, and we're going to go into Venezuela and try and get rid of Chavez. And the first two they've accomplished, Chavez they didn't accomplish. And I said, you're going to see guys going into caves looking for looking for people that they're never going to find. You know, he was laughing about the fact that you have this war on terror. There's no real enemy. He's talking about how by having this war on terror, you can never win it because it's an eternal war. And so you can always keep taking people's liberties away. And I said, how are you going to convince people that this war is real? He said, but the media. The media can convince everybody it's real. I mean, you know, it's just that you keep talking about things. You keep saying it over and over and over again, and eventually people believe it. You know, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11, which is another lie. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie, and now they're going to do Iran. You know, and it's all one thing leading to another, leading to another, leading to another. I would say to them, what are you doing this for? What's the point of this thing? You have all the money in the world you ever want. You have all the power. I said, you know, you're hurting people. It's not a good thing. And he would say, what do you care about the people for? Take care of yourself and take care of your family. And then I said, so what are the ultimate goals here? He said, the ultimate goal is to get everybody in this world chipped with the RFID chip and have all money be on those chips and everything on those chips. And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip.
And we're almost there. Waiting for the next crisis to put it all into play. We're that close. And that's why Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, you need to freak out. You need to run to the hills. Wrong translation. What? Stand up. Lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. I'm convinced that these guys, including Biden, who's a sellout, a traitor, they're not only building the ten-horn kingdom of the Antichrist, Revelation 17, they're building the cashless economic biometric currency system for the Antichrist at the same time. It's all pre-planned. That will be implemented, the Bible's very clear, in the seven-year tribulation. We leave prior. We don't know exactly when the departure is, but it's got to be getting close. So we don't finish in fear. We finish with faithfulness. We are to be the biggest whistleblowers this planet has ever seen. The fly in the ointment, the resistance, the restraining influence, that's what that word means, katekel in the Greek, and the biggest evangelist that the church has ever seen in the history of the church. Tell them as many people as we can, you better run to Christ. He's the only way out of this mess that's coming. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for tonight, and frankly, just another reminder, it's getting close. That's not worst case scenario. If we're saved, that's best case scenario. And we get to be a part of the future that you won for us. But God, if we have an ounce of compassion, we can't leave here being apathetic or distracted or going AWOL. We need to be out there telling people what's really going on to wake them up, to spoil these guys' plans as much as what time we got left here, and to tell people the good news. There's one way out, and beg them to please take it, and that's through you, Jesus. May that be how you find us when, not if, the rapture happens. It could happen tonight. Help us to be faithful, God. And again, as always, if there's anybody here tonight or watching online that's not saved, I don't know what more it's going to take, God, but please open their hearts and minds. Remove the scales from the eyes, the hardness from the heart. Draw them to you. Save them now before it's too late. May they cry out to you, Jesus, tonight and ask to be saved and forgiven through you and your death on the cross. But thank you for staying tonight. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.